Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look into His Word. Let's join together once again. Father, we do thank You for loving us, for the gift, for Your gifts of grace, Your Word, Your Scripture, the Word of revelation, revealing Your heart for Your creation and for Your people. Bless us now as we look to Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we continue our thoughts on rest. You know, it's funny how you kind of progress in a series. I was simply wanting to do a message on how to start your day and how to end your day and then move on from there. But when I got to ending your day, it just led me down the path here of sleep and rest. And today we're going to look at the Sabbath rest. You know, we just have to admit at some point, you know, some people have trouble sleeping. That's the practical, physical aspect of that. But the Scripture also speaks to this symbolic nature of rest. And so we've looked at the physical and the symbolic and spiritual, and that's going to move us now to Sabbath rest. You know, some of you have babies, and you're not going to get any sleep for a while. So you might as well just, that's just the way it is. I mean, but there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Eric Liddell from Scotland was born in 1902 in China, where his parents were missionaries. He went to a boarding school in London, and it did not take long to discover that he had great athletic gifts, especially in running and in rugby. Liddell took his starting spot in the finals for the 400 meters on a warm Friday night in Paris 100 years ago, in 1924, in the Paris Olympic Games. He took off from the outside lane, and 47.6 seconds later, he had set a new world record. He left his competitors in awe, and the fans were stunned at what they had just witnessed. His story, of course, is captured, some of you may have seen this, in the classic and great 1982 movie, Chariots of Fire. He entered the 400-meter race only after learning that the heats for his best race, the 100 meters, were being held on a Sunday. And so he opted out because he refused to run on a Sunday. A friend offered Eric his spot in the 400 meters, and Liddell used his speed to push the boundaries of what was possible, especially in that day and time. He just decided to run the whole 400 meters as a sprint. And they were stunned. Horatio Fitch, the runner who came in second, said, "I couldn't believe a man could set such a pace and finish." Yet he did. The stadium where he raced was renovated for the 2024 games, and there's a plaque there for Eric Liddell in his honor. His decision not to run on Sunday was private, without fanfare. It became newsworthy when the press began to find out and stir up, you know, y'all know how that works, stir up controversy. And some agreed with his convictions, some did not. Others saw it as being disloyal, even unpatriotic. It was just one Sunday, after all. But the Sabbath, as he understood and practiced it, was to be a full day of worship and rest. He spent the next year traveling around Great Britain as a hero, but also on an evangelistic campaign, and he preached a simple message, and he would say something like this as part of his message: "In Jesus Christ, you will find a leader worthy of all your devotion," and that's true. In Jesus Christ, my friends, even today, you will find a leader worthy of all your devotion. In 1925, he departed for China, and he spent the rest of his life as a missionary, and he died in 1945 of a brain tumor at the age of 43. But that's just Eric Liddell. And this famous moment when he refused to run on a Sunday in the Olympic Games. Now, the issue of Sunday sports seems like a relic of a bygone age, doesn't it? No one questions whether elite Christian athletes today should play on a Sunday. Have you ever questioned that? No one questions that today. But Liddell, 100 years later, we can say this in general, He knew that he lived in a day and time to take stands, to be bold, and to sacrifice if necessary. Certainly, in a general sense, we need to understand that today. Probably even more so than he did. To be bold in our faith, to take stands. But what about this specific cause exhibited in the Sabbath? What about that? Now, the Ten Commandments are viewed by many as the standard of God's moral law. They have formed the foundation of Western culture in many ways: morality, property rights, human sexuality, jurisprudence. They have been the foundation of Western culture for a long time now. But what about that fourth commandment, the one that seems antiquated or obsolete, to keep the Sabbath? Let's look at it. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, we all acknowledge, no doubt, the other nine commandments as binding today, right? But what about this one? What about number four? Wait, I think it's number four. This has been debated for centuries, though. The word here is Shabbath, or Sabbath, and it means to stop or to cease. Now, some argue a version of the Sabbath is still binding today, even though the day has changed from the Old Testament Saturday to the New Testament Sunday. Some teach that it is still binding. Others argue that we are living in a new covenant, and that the Sabbath laws were only binding upon Old Covenant Israel, and they are not binding on the New Covenant Church. Now, Scripture, it's interesting, gives good arguments on both sides of the debate. Now, what are we going to do about this? Let me give you some of the arguments. Some that argue it is still binding today turn to our passage that J.E. read to us, Genesis chapter 2. It says this: on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Now, this is a clear blessing by God upon the Sabbath on the seventh day, directly from God. And listen, this came before sin ever entered into the world and wrecked creation. He blessed the Sabbath. Before any law was given, before Moses gave a law, any law about the Sabbath, God had blessed it. So we have this command in Exodus 20, Ten Commandments. We have this example from God himself in Genesis chapter 2. And notice here, this is interesting. The only commandment in the Ten Commandments that comes with a reason why we have to keep it is this one, only one. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. It's the only commandment that gives this explanation. So God has established the rhythm of life: work and rest in creation, work 6 days, rest on the seventh day. It is based on God's action in creation, and as his image bearers, we are to follow him. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 5:17. He said, "Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. Oh, no. I came to accomplish their purpose." So Jesus himself is saying that the moral law of God in the Ten Commandments, summarizing the Ten Commandments, is important. And he would certainly count the Sabbath as very important. You know, in the United States, Sabbath convictions existed well into the 1960s. Some of you may remember blue laws. Do y'all remember those? That's a law prohibiting certain activities on Sunday, like shopping. I think some communities you can't drink or buy alcohol in some counties. I believe that's still the case in some counties on Sundays. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. That has wrecked the day of many a family. Still observed in some way. Now, the other side of it. Some argue that the Old Covenant Sabbath, at least how Israel observed it, has changed. Jesus often healed on the Sabbath, and that got him in trouble. One time he healed a man, and he told this man to pick up his mat and walk on a Sunday, and he did. And that man got in trouble with the religious authorities because of what he was doing. He was working on a Sabbath. In John 5, so you see just one example of this. There are many examples. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." He said, "I'm always working, even on a Sabbath. I'll heal somebody on a Sabbath," he said. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. Did he break the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Ah, and there's a key there. He's the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the Lord, even of the Sabbath." He's the Lord. So he has reserved the right in his divine sonship to give it new meaning in light of his coming. In Mark 2, Jesus said, after he was challenged about this Sabbath, he said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." In other words, the Sabbath is more of a gift than a command. A command, yeah, but it's more of a gift than a command for us. "So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Does he give it new meaning? That's the question. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2, just to look at another New Testament passage, he says this to his mostly Gentile readers. He says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths." All these regulations. Don't let anybody condemn you about that. "For these rules are only," listen, "shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality." Dr. Rob Brunansky writes, and listen to this, "None of the churches composed primarily of Gentile converts are given instructions about observing the Sabbath." And they're not. You can't find that in the letters to the churches or the letters of Paul or Peter. There's nothing about observing the Sabbath in those letters. They are given instructions about worship, idolatry, speech, honoring parents, murder, sexual immorality, stealing, bearing false witness, and coveting, but not the Sabbath. All 9 of the 10 commandments directly related to the churches in the New Testament, to the Gentile churches in particular, by the writings of the apostles. But hardly anything, if anything, on the Sabbath. So, where are we to go with all this? The Sabbath day is an eternal concept because God gave us the concept before the fall, before any law was given, yet the earliest Christians did not observe it as ancient Israel had been taught by Moses. What is the answer to the problem? Are we to observe the Sabbath? And is it on Saturday or is it on Sunday? What does a Sabbath day even look like? Are we to obey this commandment? Well, let me give you an unambiguous yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, the Christian church is to observe and even celebrate a Sabbath, but from a new perspective, and not the way Israel did, or certainly not exactly the way they did. That it was tied to a certain day and was with only certain activities. You know, for me personally, Sundays, I feel the most pressure and tension and exhaustion at the end of the day. Not always, but many times, Sundays, that's what I feel. When I lay down at night, I'm going, man. I mean, did I break the Sabbath on a Sunday? My point is this. I give room on this command that other commandments do not give. And I think it's based on the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Now, you shall not commit adultery. There's no room there, my friend. None. None at all. Bowing down to idols, no room there. But in giving some room for us to think about this, I also want to give some boundaries in how we understand the Sabbath. We should not be Phariseistic in our teachings on this, or I would say not overly legalistic in our understandings of the Sabbath, but nor are we to reject the concept entirely, as if it didn't matter. Not too legalistic, not too loose. We need these boundaries. Again, you see here in verses 16 and 17 of Colossians that we're to let no one condemn us. And notice here, in what you eat or drink, or celebrating holy days, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are shadows. These are shadows. And Christ himself is the reality. Again, from what I think is good teaching from Dr. Rob Brunansky, he says this, the food and Sabbath laws were pointers to Christ. They were never meant to be an end in themselves, as if God's people would always observe the Sabbath just as Israel did, or have the same food laws as Old Testament Israel. Rather, they were shadows of the body of Christ, which is Christ, his body. Now that Christ has come, he has not done away with the purity, nor has he done away with the rest. We are to be pure, and we're to learn to rest. We no longer find our rest by celebrating the seventh day, but by resting in Christ every day through faith while remembering the principle of the Sabbath. Now, let me just illustrate it in a couple of ways. I think we can understand the Sabbath and hold to the principle of the Sabbath without being too loose or too legalistic by understanding it as a physical and practical blessing or gift from God, and we are to be intentional about this. Let me illustrate. In May of 1853, Phoebe and her husband Holden Judson joined a covered wagon train near Kansas City, hoping to reach Washington Territory by mid-October. This was a distance of about 2,000 miles from Kansas City to Washington, and they were traveling what was called the Oregon Trail. You may be familiar with that. Like all wagon trains, they elected a captain. And the captain, what the captain said was law. That's just the way it was. Well, the Judsons' wagon train chose Reverend Gustavus Hines. And to their shock, he announced that they would never travel on Sundays. That was it. That would be a day of rest. Phoebe was infuriated as her husband. They're supposed to travel half the continent at the pace of oxen, which is about 15 to 20 miles a day. Mountain passes, river crossings ahead of them. She was fuming about this. One family even deserted the train and went to another because they were not going to do that. So they, the first Sunday, they stood still, and one wagon train after another passed them by, and they watched that. They started out again on Monday. They came to the first river crossing, and they had to wait in line as the ferry took them over one by one. That was 3 days of waiting, according to her journal. On Saturday, they resumed the journey, only to be told that they would rest the next day. She was livid by now. It made absolutely no sense to her. A few weeks later, she began to see dead oxen strewn across the Oregon Trail, mules, horses, all along the trail. They had been driven so relentlessly, they had collapsed and died. She grudgingly admitted at that point, maybe the animals need a day of rest. A few weeks later, she admitted, well, maybe the men need it too, because they're walking, we're riding. The women and children are riding, the men are mostly walking. And she also noticed in her particular wagon train that as they worshiped and would eat and rest and even play together on Sundays, that it had a remarkable beneficial effect upon their spirits. There was less grumbling along the way. There was more cooperation. She even noticed that they were having a better time on the other 6 days. Finally, and what totally convinced her that this was a good idea, to take Sundays and rest, the family that had left came back limping, deserting the ones who had deserted their camp. They wanted to rejoin them. Their wagon train had broken down, and they were not ahead of them. They had fallen way back. That's the point. 50 head of cattle went with this wagon train, and only 2 were lost. The whole point of that illustration is that life is a journey. It can be long. There are mountain passes. There are river crossings. There are monotonous days. There are terrifying nights. It's a principle. We need our Sabbath physically, and emotionally. We need our Sabbath. But we also need it for spiritual reasons. The spiritual blessings of an intentional Sabbath celebration like we're doing today. One guy here at Trinity said not too long ago, he said the reason he likes to come to church on Sunday is so he can get his act together. He said, I've been living in this world for 6 days and with my own heart. He said, Sundays helps me to realign my perspective. That's the spiritual aspect of a Sabbath. It's truly important. And it helps us see what lasts forever, these Sabbath days. And it's not just a day of not working. It's a time to reorient our perspective on life. And we remind ourselves that we are not God. We don't run the universe. God runs the universe. So Sabbath, in this sense, is a gift from God. In this grinding culture, we're able to remember the rhythm of work and rest. As one guy wrote, our productivity does not determine our value. We are human beings, not human doings. We are beings, not just machines. We are made to be with Him. And that's what a Sabbath does. A Sabbath allows us to stop and be with Christ. Do you have those times in your week when you stop and you just be with Christ? We're human beings. A friend told me recently that he and his wife practice a Sabbath rest on Saturdays. They do some intentional worship together, maybe read the scripture in the morning and in the evening, and during the day they may drive somewhere or take a walk together, just an intentional time together with the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, am I supposed to do that? No, I'm not saying you're supposed to do that. Not the way they do that. We're not being legalistic, but it's the principle of the matter. So Jesus brings His grace and full rest in the shadow of the Sabbath. One other scripture. Actually, 2 other scriptures as we close. The writer of Hebrews explains the meaning, the true meaning, of celebrating the Sabbath when we can rest. Look at what is written here, verses 3 and 10. You need to read the whole chapter, but let me give you a taste of this. For only we who believe can enter His rest. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Now, the emphasis here is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop striving to justify yourself. Receive the grace of God, which is a gift, and we will find rest for our souls. This is a Sabbath that is eternal and daily, but it should be practiced as well. It's the principle. It's the spirit of it. The Sabbath points us to Jesus, we are told. Jesus Himself said this, come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So let's summarize. What are these principles of the Sabbath? 1, we are to still observe the Sabbath, Sabbath rest, although not the same as ancient Israel. 2, God Himself exemplifies Sabbath in the creation story. It's important. 3, The principle of the Sabbath remains for the Christian and should be taken seriously, but not legalistically. Number four, Sabbath rest is God's grace to us physically and spiritually, as we strengthen our minds and our bodies, but also recenter our hearts. Not so much a commandment to obey that we're bound to, as a promise that we are invited to enjoy. And number five, Jesus is the ultimate reality and source of God's rest. It's all in Him. We find rest for our souls in Jesus. And my friends, when He comes again, there will be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation that will enjoy rest forever. Now, a lot of people say this when someone dies: may they rest in peace. There's only one way to do that. It's through Jesus Christ and through faith in Him. Have you faith in Christ? Rest in peace. We're going to talk more about that next week. The eternal rest of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word to us. We thank You that You just help us understand and grow. And Lord, anything right in this message, according to Your word, bring it home to our hearts. Anything wrong, Lord, just remove it. But help us, Lord, to continue to grapple with what it means to find our rest in You and to learn to be disciples who follow this way. We're thankful for Jesus, who is our eternal rest. And in Him, we have peace and salvation. And it's in His name we give You glory and make our prayer.